Do you find security in knowing that the Lord is God, that the Lord is God alone? This is Thursday, April 18th, and during the time when the book of Psalms that we're studying for the next month was written, the world was filled with deities. Some were geographic gods, gods that were believed to have controlling power over a geographic region of the world. There were also economic gods, ones that governed the various sources of economic life, like livestock and the crops that were grown. Then there were also gods who dominated or controlled almost every other arena of life. For example, gods of water, gods of war, gods that controlled the weather, and gods of fertility, too. So imagine trying to balance the competing demands of more than a dozen gods who had sway over different aspects of your life. And add to this, often the gods themselves were said to be in conflict with each other. So you can see that the idea of one God having power over the entire world, all of the geography, and all of the realms of life was a radical thought. But can it be true? Now I want to go to our scripture text for today. This is the 100th Psalm, verses 1 to 3. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now this worship song that we're looking at has this stunning assertion. The Lord is God. Now that doesn't mean that he's one of the many gods in the world. No, it means that he alone is God. There are no other gods. You might wonder how the people came to this conclusion, and what difference did it make that they believed this? First, this is how Israel saw the truth of the Lord's sovereignty. The Lord showed up again and again, showing that the gods around them were really nothing at all. For example, in Egypt, the plagues were planned not randomly, but to show that the Lord is God. The Nile River had a God associated with it. So did cattle and the weather. Yes, the plagues that struck the water and the cattle showed the Lord's power, his supreme power. In essence, every major god of the Egyptians was shown to be empty. This is how Israel could say, the Lord, he is God. They had seen the army of Pharaoh defeated, and how the sea swept them away. And in the process, all other powers were put in their place and shown to be not worthy of worship. Now you might wonder, how does this apply to us? We see the faithfulness of God in our lives through Jesus, through the grace that he extends to us, and through the work of the Spirit in our lives. We have this confirmation of the truth of God. I remember hearing a woman explain how Jesus had changed her life, giving her acceptance and joy, a peace and love she had never known before. She had no doubt that the Lord, he is God. You see, only the gospel made sense of the world for her. Only the belonging she found in God could meet the deep needs of her heart. Only in Christ could she discover a sense of meaning and purpose in her life. And I think we can already see the difference that Christ has made and does make in our lives. Today, we cannot comprehend how knowing the Lord as the only true and living God changed the people of the ancient world. They didn't have to juggle various deities that cared nothing for them. They discovered these gods were really nothing at all. When God saved Israel from slavery in Egypt, they discovered the God who is sovereign over the world and all of life, and that he had set his affection on them. He redeemed them. He gave them a place to stand. They learn that his love never fails. And it is this faith that is affirmed in this worship song. The Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. Now, some people have complained that we don't have the same verification about the Lord that the people of old had. The truth is, we have far more evidence and assurance than they did. In Christ, God showed up in flesh and blood. Here's how the book of Hebrews explains this truth. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Now, this is precisely the point of the beginning of the book of Hebrews. Yes, God shared his word in various ways, but now we have God in person, revealing God's nature in a way the prophets could not relate to it, could not share with us. And it really is an astounding promise. Yes, the Lord Jesus, he is God. He is the one who upholds all things. He has given us access to the throne of grace. He has provided us the connection to the Father in his death for our sin, bringing us into fellowship with God. So today, we rejoice. We know who controls the planets and who is God over all. And today, let's rest in him, knowing that he is the one who holds us secure. Let's pray. God of all grace, we rejoice that you are sovereign, that you have control over all things. You have opened a new and living way for us to come to you through Jesus. Help us to rejoice in you, for we pray in your name. Amen.